All right, we're in John chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 16, John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm emphasizing the word but because it's emphasized in the original. This is always a point of emphasis in our English translation, but here it is in the Greek. It's, in fact, the same word that's translated but is in verse 15 as well, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Some translations have judgment where you find the word condemned. They say judge or judged and then condemnation, judgment. Both words are a proper translation of the original. I believe condemned and condemnation are better fitting here. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, this is a different word for evil here, and a different word for doing than you'll find in the next verse. This word for doing is the practice of doing. The Greek word has the idea of something that is a character. And the word evil here could also be translated worthless. It isn't the word that's typically referring to or necessarily to moral evil, moral bad, though that is included because that's worthless, but it seems to be a larger word than that, as I understand it. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And the fact of the matter is, that is really the characterization of one who is an unregenerate person, one who's not born again. Everything they do, in the end of the day, when they stand in judgment, will be rendered worthless. So everything you think you're doing that is of so much value in this life, everything that you're sweating for, working for, laboring for, you think is so significant to you and to this world, in the end, you're going to find that it was worth nothing. What a letdown that's going to be. Talking about the rug being pulled out from under you. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Conviction in regards to those deeds. But he that doeth truth, this is strange language. You say, give me a better translation. No, you don't need a better translation. That's a good translation. We just need to understand what these awkward words are saying. Folks who like to translate things, oftentimes in our generation, get away from what God intended us to read in order to try to make it easy on the minds of unregenerate folks. We need to be careful there with our translations. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God or worked in God. Again, that's a strange sentence. I've read it all my life, and every time I have read it, I've scratched my head. What's he saying? I think I might have an idea this morning. I'll share it with you eventually. Well, there's an obvious contrast that the Spirit of God wants us to see from this passage. There are two possible destinations for every human soul. We read the word perish, condemnation, judgment, or everlasting life, saved, salvation. Those are two possible destinations, and the only two possible destinations for every human soul. And there are two possible ways that lead to one or the other destination. In another place, Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way which leads to life." You remember that in Matthew chapter 7? And it seems really that that's what's going on here in this passage. The straight gate, the narrow way, is believing on Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. You notice how the only begotten Son of God, or the unique Son of God, the only one who is of this nature, the Son of God, is repeatedly pointed to in John 3, and we'll see Him again in this Gospel. He is the one that you must be seeing, you must come to. He is the straight gate. He is the narrow way, really. Coming to the light, a synonymous concept. Coming to the light is coming to Christ. He's the narrow way, the straight gate. And eternal life is the result of that way. The other way is wide. The gate is wide, Jesus says. And that's not believing on Jesus. And loving darkness, as we'll see. And the end result of that is eternal judgment. So there are only two possible destinations for every human soul and two ways to get to those destinations. And you see that here in these verses. And the time to determine your eternal state is right now. Right now. This is it. In time, yes. The fact of the matter is, you don't know if you're going to have another breath. So while you have time, while you are in time, while you are in this life, this thing must be dealt with. You'll notice he uses the word already. Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And so John, guided by the Holy Spirit, is obviously pressing us who read these words to consider the eternal consequence of our response to God's great demonstration of love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Now, you are pressed to deal with that. It was infinite, unfathomably deep, sovereign love that moved God to give His only begotten Son. Gave His only begotten Son. And those who see the love of God manifested for them in Jesus Christ are those who believe. They are the only ones who believe. And ultimately, they are the only ones that this love was acted out for. But we don't see that now. We don't know that now. We don't know who those are right now, do we? But the Scriptures tell us it is those who believe. And so if you If you see God's love manifested for you, the guilty sinner, and turn away from your sin to believe in Jesus Christ, everything in life and eternity changes for you. Everything does. Right now. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Right now. And you come to the light that your deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Everything changes. It's not just that your position changes. Your life changes. But if you ignore God's love, for whatever reason you may imagine, and there are many reasons that folks ignore God's love, and some of them are thought-out reasons, some of them are even theological reasons. And you may have come to a passage like this and dissected this passage so much and tried to figure out all the little nuances of the words that you have grown into a cold state of unbelief and darkness that you will never, ever recover from. That's not the way to come to a passage like this. You ignore God's love that is announced in a passage like this. You remain in your unbelief. I say to you, everything remains the same for you now and forever. And what is that? Under condemnation and a lover of darkness. The only reason the whole world has not already experienced the judgment of God is because God is determined in His great love to save those who believe. I say to you now, here's the invitation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, He says that the world through Him might be saved. This isn't expressing a possibility, but a certainty. Wouldn't that be horrible to hear the voice of Christ calling you and you believe only with the thought that you might be saved by believing? Wouldn't that be horrible? That's not what's intended by that expression, might be saved. What's intended by that, as I said 2 weeks ago, was this is the only way you can be saved. There is no other way. There is no other possibility. There is no other option. There aren't a zillion religions. There isn't more than one way to God. There is only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. You must believe. You must come to Him. You must come to the light. And so don't complicate the straightforward truths of these verses. The Spirit of God is speaking here. He's speaking very clearly. I don't think you can find any more clear words in the Bible than what we have here in John chapter 3. Are you hearing? Well, the contrast that we have seen in verses 16 through 18 is continued in verses 19 through 21 from a different perspective. It seems that, and I think John is writing here, guided by the Holy Spirit. That is, I'm not taking these to be Jesus' words. There are those who disagree and say that Jesus is speaking all the way through verse 21. But I'll say this, in this last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. These are His words, even though He may not have verbalized them at this point. He's speaking. And He's explaining in verses 19 through 21 the difference of nature between the unbeliever and the believer. In the bulletin it says the title of the message is Believers and Unbelievers, or Unbelievers and Believers. Maybe it would have been a better way of putting that. So what is meant by that title? It's just this, that there is a contrast between these two groups of people, and there are only two groups of people in the world. There are unbelievers and there are believers. In verse 19, light is contrasted with darkness, and this is the condemnation. that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There's light and there's darkness. You see contrast there. And there are those that have a relationship with the light and a relationship with the darkness. And believers and unbelievers have a different relationship with light and darkness. Those doing evil are contrasted with those who do truth in verses 20 and 21. For everyone that does evil or doeth evil hateth the light, verse 21, but he that does truth cometh to the light. There's a contrast being drawn here. Two kinds of people in the world. There are two kinds of people sitting here this morning. Two kinds of people in these chairs. You're one or the other. You're a believer or you are an unbeliever. And if you believe, you come to the light. And if you do not believe, you remain in darkness. Now, while Jesus did not come into the world the first time to condemn or judge the world, according to verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Well, that's true. More than once we're going to run into it in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, I did come to judge. And here's the idea. Light is coming to the world. And His coming into the world has confronted the world with darkness and condemnation that is already upon them. And that's what verses 18 and 19 are telling us. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so first we have the description of those who are under condemnation. These are unbelievers. What's an unbeliever like? Well, first, an unbeliever loves darkness rather than light. Verse 19. And men love darkness rather than light. Why don't people come to the light? Why don't people come to Jesus? Men loved darkness rather than light. He says, light is come into the world. That's a direct reference to Jesus Christ. I don't think I need to spend much time developing this thought. We've dealt with it in the first chapter. We know that Jesus is the light. Later on in John chapter 8 and John chapter 12, He says, I am the light of the world. So I don't think we need to develop or defend this thought that Jesus is the light. That's who John has in mind. The Spirit of God has in mind as the word light is used here. He is the light. Darkness represents the absence of moral and spiritual light whenever it is used in Scripture in this kind of context. Men loved darkness. In Romans chapter 13, we'll allow the Apostle Paul to help us out here as he used the word. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The works of darkness are those works that come forth from a life of one who is without God. Spiritual darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Apostle Paul talks about believers being the children of light, he says, you were once darkness. A life without God, a mind and a life lived under the cover of darkness. Not affected by Jesus Christ. Having no relationship with Jesus Christ. Unbelievers love darkness rather than light. That's what he says. and men loved darkness rather than light. These are those who are under condemnation. This is the condemnation. Those who are unbelieving are under this condemnation. Who are they? They are men who love darkness. You will not come to Christ that you might have life. That's the bottom line. You do not see your need of Him if you're an unbeliever here today. You are satisfied with life as you know it. That describes you. And what you are not satisfied with, you are seeking to fill up with the exercise of your own flesh and your own mind. But you will not come to the light. The thought of having your life exposed, having to deal with your sin, having to repent of your ways and walk differently is not appealing to you. You love your darkness. And some of you are sitting here today, even with a profession of faith, scared to death that your life is really going to be exposed. You love your darkness. You love to keep your life concealed. You love to hide. Because that's the only place that you can sin without conviction is staying out of the light. You love darkness. Your affection and your commitment is for this world. You notice he says, you men love darkness. This isn't a matter of just being affected by darkness. We're all affected by darkness. We're all affected by the world in which we live. But do you have a love for it? He's talking about where is your heart here. He's talking about an affection, a movement toward. He's not talking about, an individual can even on the outside appear to have a very moral structure about their life, but deep inside, and when they're all alone and in the darkness of their lives, they are really who they are. You know, it comes out then. The rest of it's a show. It's called hypocrisy. If you're an unbeliever here today, I'm talking about you. At least I'm not talking behind your back. I'm trying to be very biblical, very straightforward here. This is who you are. You choose deeds or works that are contrary to Christ and His way. It's not a big deal to you. You think Christians make too big a deal out of the walk that they walk, the life that they live. You think God is too narrow, too strict. And you'll not have that. You're like those who said, we'll not have this man rule over us. And you may or may not openly rebel against talk about Jesus. You may have even grown up around this and you're okay. You can deal with it. You're comfortable with the talk about Jesus. You may even talk about Him yourself in certain contexts. But your life is not affected. You have never really come to Him. He is light. The life of the unbeliever is not a life lived in the light of Christ, but in the darkness of this world. And the reason that you do not come to the light and believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, is not so much that you do not intellectually grasp the truth, but you don't want to be exposed. And Christian, let me just throw this out to you. You know, this thing, you know, you get so exasperated with people. You know, I don't understand why they don't believe. I don't understand why don't you, Bubby, don't you want eternal life? Why don't you believe? The reason that unbelievers don't believe is because it's not just about somewhere out there. It's about what happens right now. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a moral problem. It's an allegiance problem. It's a dominion problem. It's who's going to be the Lord problem. Jesus came into the world as the light, exposing darkness and calling sinners out of darkness unto Himself and His marvelous light. And you read it this way as you get into the book of Acts and as you get into the epistles, it talks this way. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been translated. We've been changed. There's something that happens because light has come into the world. But by nature, you are blinded by unbelief in the God of this world. You don't want to be exposed. And so you resist the gospel because it reproves your sin. And you don't want your sin reproved. You don't want to feel uncomfortable. How many folks have come to church and said, I don't like going to that church. I don't like how it makes me feel to be told I'm wrong. And so you don't want to really be around folks that are children of light, that are living out this light in their lives. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so you have the Apostle Paul writing, I'll read these verses to you in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He's talking to us who are children of light, who are believers. Don't have fellowship. He doesn't say don't have anything to do with unbelievers. He doesn't say that. If you're reading your Bibles that way, you're not reading it properly. But he does say, do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, reprove them. That's what light does. You really don't even have to open your mouth for that to happen. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Is your life being lived in such a way that Christ is seen? Christ is the light. And if Christ is being seen, there's going to be folks that are going to be uncomfortable around you. So it's manifested in the unbeliever. Their discomfort, their agitation, and perhaps even their hatred of those who are truly walking in the light. Because they don't like the light. They don't like the light. They like darkness. And I know it's a horrible thought. But have you ever gone into your kitchen in the early morning and turned the light on and seen something scurrying under the stove? You know, that's kind of the idea. That's the way it is with unbelievers. The brighter the light, they scurry away. They've got to get to darkness. They've got to get away from this. There are some who come to church here. Some do so because they have to. But some come for whatever reason. But I'm telling you, as quick as possible, they're going to get away, away. Get away. And some, as soon as they turn 18, some households or whatever the age is, they want to get away. Got to get away. Can't stand the light anymore. That's what happens with unbelievers. You don't want your sinful life exposed. You love darkness. One evidence that you are not a true believer is how you respond to the shining of gospel light upon your life. Do you not like being around those whose life and talk expose your ungodly lifestyle or your worldly lifestyle or the lifestyle you know is contrary to the Word of God, the gospel? I think it's an important point for every unbeliever here today to consider. You are not condemned simply because you don't believe. I've heard people say that the only sin that you'll be condemned for is the sin of unbelief, and they get it from this passage. I will say this, unbelief will keep you under condemnation, but that's not the only sin that you've got to deal with. Your unbelief keeps you in love with your sin and at odds with God. That's the problem with unbelief. It keeps you where you are by nature. It keeps you comfortable in darkness. You mock Him. You mock His demonstration of love. And I've heard it from unbelievers. Mockery of God. Mockery of His love. Mockery of the gospel. Maybe you haven't stooped to that level yet, but you keep going in your unbelief. You'll get there. It's a spiraling down. This is the condemnation. I've heard people say, are you kidding me? Just because I don't believe, God's going to condemn me just because I don't believe? It's almost as if this was anticipated by the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 19, He says, this is the condemnation. No, it's not just because you don't believe. It's because light has come into the world and you love darkness rather than light. You prefer darkness over Jesus Christ. You prefer yourself and your way over Him and His way. That's why. And we're going to get to it in John. God is going to judge the world by Him. You're going to stand before Him. You need to know today that God's love does not cancel out His condemnation upon you. If you continue in your sin, God is not just so loving that in the end He's going to say, I just can't do it. I just can't judge. I just can't condemn them. He can and He will. The fact of the matter is, you are already under condemnation. Do you see yourself here? Do you hear yourself being described? Oh, that repentance might be given to you right now, right this moment in the depths of your soul. May there be something at work that you've never known before. That will cause you to flee the darkness by coming to the light, coming to Jesus Christ. And what you see of yourself when that happens will be very disturbing. It continues to be in my life. Very disturbing to see sin in the light. But what you will find from God in Christ will be redeeming love, which will put all that disturbance to rest. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm not under condemnation. That's the believer. The one who, John says, is saved. He says, he's not condemned. He says, this one has everlasting life. This is the believer, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Here's the contrast. That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God. The believer. The believer is the one who does the truth. That's a strange way of talking, isn't it? You find it one other time, and I was helped by turning over to 1 John chapter 1. What is it to do the truth? It is to live in accordance with the profession of one's faith. That's one idea anyway. To do the truth. It's not just saying that you believe. It's not just making a profession of faith. It's not saying, that's my doctrinal statement. It is doing your doctrinal statement. In another place, Paul writes about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. It's doctrine that affects your life. And so in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." We're talking about coming to the light. That's coming to God. Coming to Jesus Christ is coming to God. Jesus Christ is God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say we believe, we say we have a relationship with God, we say everything's okay between me and God. How many of you thought that before you were truly saved? Me and God's got something going. We're okay. Don't need you. Don't need what you have to say. Don't need the gospel light. Me and God's okay. You need the gospel light if you think that way. You haven't come to the gospel light. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, it matters how you live. It matters the way you're on. Are you on the narrow way or the broad way? They don't lead to the same place. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. There it is again. I didn't even look that up in any of the modern translations, because I just get kind of tired of seeing how they mess with things. But do not the truth. There it is again. Do the truth. You're a liar if you say you have fellowship with God and do not the truth. Truth that is believed is lived. This is not abstract truth about God and Jesus. The world is full of that. America is full of that. Churches, so-called, they are filled with people who know something about truth and have an acknowledgement of truth, but it's abstract. It's not personal. This is truth made real to your soul. As one writer wrote many moons ago, the life of God in the soul of man. That's what this is about. The life of God in you. The believer is not only not condemned. That's true. He's not condemned. John says so. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. That's justification, by the way. But that's not where salvation ends. That's not where the gospel ends. It continues on. The one who is justified is also sanctified. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. He has a new life that is evident now. This is the born again one. This is the one upon whom the Spirit of God has come. He sees the light of the glorious gospel in Christ, and he comes to Him, and he walks in Him. Is this describing you? Those who come to the light, he that doeth truth comes to the light. Which happens first? Does he come to the truth? Or does he come to the light? Which comes first? Or which comes first, the bullet or the hole? You know, I mean, this is a simultaneous working. They go together. This idea of repentance and faith and even the result of that. It all happened. It's the work of God that they are wrought in God. This is God's work in us. This is kind of the culmination of where Jesus began back in the first part of chapter 3. You must be born again. If you are born again, if you are born of the Spirit of God, something has happened in you. You're a new person. He that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. As I thought about this, and this is a difficult concept for us, I think, to some degree, and it's easy to read something into this passage that's not there. It's it's very easy not to get out of it what's there because the wording is sort of strange for us. But as I compared 1 John 1 with this, it sort of opened up to me at least a little bit, I think, and maybe it'll open up to you more. I encourage you to meditate on this scripture. Maybe the Spirit of God will teach you something deeper than what I've been taught. I hope that happens for you. But over in 1 John 1, when he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So one of the things that's true about those of us who come to the light is that we fellowship with Him. We walk in His light. We walk in His truth. We walk in His ways. The Word of God is called a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Spirit of God is referred to as a light in Scripture. Everywhere you turn, when you talk about God, you're talking about light. And when you're walking in the light, you have a relationship with Him, that you are in fellowship with Him. But there's another thing that happens as you walk in the light, and it's painful. It's very painful. It's kind of like when you were having some important guests come over to your house, and you know, it's kind of a dreary day out, and you cleaned, and you did what you thought was a good job, but you didn't turn on the lights, and you cleaned, and then your guests come over, and on that day, or later on in that day, as the case may be, the sunlight's out in full and it's coming through the light, and you're sitting there looking at all the dust you missed. And you're thinking, oh, I hope they don't look over there. You know? The closer you get to God, the more you see. That's ugly. This is what happens when you come to the light. This is why an unbeliever don't go to the light. But oh, if you're a believer, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do under the preaching of His Word or under the reading of His Word? Or just, I mean, God just smacks you at some point in the day and you say, oh, get away from that thought. I don't want to go there. Or do you say, gave His only begotten Son for me, and look what I'm thinking, look what I'm doing, look at how I act, and look at what I said, look at my life. So there's some people that will say, well, I must not be saved. Maybe you ought not believe. That might be a lie, by the way. That might be a lie. Maybe you ought to think this way. And if you're a true believer, you'll connect here. You'll say, wait a minute. I'm not perfected. This thing of sanctification, this thing of becoming more like Christ, this thing of glory is still in a work in progress. I'm getting there. I'm moving in that direction. In fact, if I say that I have no sin, I deceive myself. The truth's not in me. So I don't want to go there. Right? And so that as I come to the light, as I walk in the light, guess what happens? Sin is exposed, but, oh, here's the beauty of the gospel for the believer. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're covered. You're covered. There's no condemnation. You're covered. You can be honest with God. You don't have to redefine sin. You don't have to make sin just the big things. Well, I didn't pull the trigger. Yeah, but did you have a little bit of hatred creep up in your heart? Bitterness, jealousy, envy. I know you didn't pull the trigger. I know you didn't throw the knife in. So you think, well, I'm without sins. I didn't kill. But doesn't the Spirit of the law go deeper than that? And when that sin is exposed, I can bring it to my God who loved me, who gave Himself for me, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed His own blood for me, and I experience cleansing from all unrighteousness. And He goes on to say in chapter 2, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I am not accepted based upon my own righteousness, but my heart does condemn me when sin is brought to my attention. What do I do with that? I take it to my advocate.
and I don't stay committed to that sin, I break with it. It's called repentance.
Repentance, those of you who are thinking that repentance is some sort of, repentance is at the gate. You come to the straight gate. Okay, you've got to repent. You hear people, repent, 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 repent. Okay, I used the word repent, so therefore I must be repentant because I did it back then. Well, that's the same thing as saying I believed back then. If you're not still repenting and still believing, you better do some examination in your life.
It becomes who we are. This is who we are.
And so we come to the light. If we didn't have the sense that our sin would be dealt with graciously by God, and this love that He's talked about has covered that sin, if we didn't have that sense, I wouldn't want to come to the light. I'd rather just live my life in ignorance. I'd rather not know. Don't tell me if I'm wrong. That's staying in darkness. But the heart of the child of God is, search me, O God. Search me, O God. Search me. And so that as I confess my sins, that You show to me I can live in the forgiveness of those sins, but be delivered from the power of that sin and walk in righteousness, that is the way that leads to everlasting life. And you and others will know that God is at work in you. He says that he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I think here's the idea of responding to what is shown to you. God is at work in you. Ultimately, this is what the light exposes. That we are what we are by the grace of God. It doesn't just simply expose that we're sinners. It does that. But it exposes our sin that we might move in a different direction. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. And you see, as you are a believer coming to the light, continually coming to the light, this is what is exposed. Believers express themselves in terms of humility. And I think that's what you see here. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We readily admit that God is the one who's at work in us. Well, how did you change? I know the way you were, and now I see you now. How did that happen?
Well, I got a good program, and, I worked really hard at it, and
Is that what the believer talks about?
No, the believer speaks in terms of humility. It's God that's worked in me.
Oh, I know that. But what did you do?
Oh no, don't jump past that first statement too quickly. It's God that worked in me. It's God that's doing something in me.
Oh, yeah, that's religious talk. I want to know what you did.
I have nothing more to say. And until you get into your head that it's God that's worked in me, I really don't need to talk about what I've done. I know that
I do, because it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I know, and there's a place to talk about those things, but don't skip over the fact that that work is wrought in God. God's the author.
And so, when you understand that, there aren't these proud attitudes that look down upon those remaining in darkness. Why can't you live like I do?
Can't you see it?
Christian, be careful.
We say we believe that who we are and what's at work in us is God working in us, but then we look down our nose at folks who haven't gotten to where we are, as if we are somebody. The most humble folks in the world,
the least arrogant folks in the world. The people who ought to be deflecting glory to God more than anyone else is the believer. The one who's truly coming to the light. We do the truth because God has worked in us. And we gladly confess that. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Where truth that you had known all of a sudden became so real to you that it changed your life, that affected you. Can you think of any specific area in your life where truth became so real? The love of God within the last couple of years it probably has become more real to me than ever before, and it has affected my life. How about you? Mr. Piper put it this way. The ultimate, speaking on these verses, the ultimate contrast is that the believer, the one who loves the light, the one who comes to Jesus, comes by the grace of God. That is, he comes with a profound sense of God-dependent humility. That every good thing he does, he is able to do only in God. And that means only by God's power. If you're an unbeliever here today, the sentence of condemnation is already on you. I want you to feel that. I can't make you feel that, but I want you to feel that. If you die as you are, there is nothing left but the carrying out of the sentence. Think of it that way. The sentence has already been handed down. Did you see that? In verse 18. Condemned already. The sentence, the gavel has fallen. You're condemned. There's no way out. You breathe your last today. You don't have to wait till the judgment day to find out if you are going to be condemned. You already are condemned right now as you sit here today. And all that's left is the carrying out of the sentence, which is ultimately separation, eternal separation from God's mercy. No more sun shining on you. No more rain falling on your ground. The light, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. That's why I ask you. And I think this is a legitimate question under the preaching of the gospel. I ask you, will you continue to reject the light? Will you continue to choose darkness over light? And by the way, if you're a believer here today, what is the surest way for that sin that you're struggling with to be put away? What is the surest way for that sin to be destroyed? Isn't it bringing it into the light? Some of you have been experiencing that. Praise God for what He's working in some of you. Your sin, specific, pointed sin, has come to your mind and heart and been exposed. And you have taken that, and it's a hard thing to do, but if you're a believer, you'll do it. Bring it out. Drag it out. I don't want it. I don't want it. And whatever it takes, I want to be cut free from it. I don't want it in my life anymore. And by the way, Christian, just making some general application here, don't come to the light and then race back into the darkness. We can use that analogy. Don't go where the roaches go. Don't feed on the same diet the roaches do. And I know if you're an unbeliever here, you're saying, you're calling me a roach. I am not saying you are anything worse than I am what I am by the grace of God. And I say that in all sincerity. It almost hurts me to say that, but there is truth to it. But what I'm making is believer. Is your life any different? than the unbeliever. That's the point. Maybe one of the reasons, if you truly are a believer, maybe one of the reasons that you are not seeing as much evidence in your life as you should be seeing is because you're not spending enough time coming to the light and responding to what you see in the light. God is glorified when you walk by faith and walk in the light. Father, we're thankful for the amazing salvation that is announced in your word. We pray that some today heard the appeal to you to work. There'll be some today who, not because of the passion for preaching, but because of the truth of your word, pressing that truth by your spirit to your life, you respond. And for what you choose to do, you will.